Hi, ladies, and welcome to the Story Night podcast. I'm Jessica Campbell, and stories are my passion. It's my honor to host this podcast where real women share real stories of real hope. Each episode features one woman sharing her personal story with you. Too often, we fall into the traps of comparison and judgment, but what if we took the time to hear each other's real stories? Let's remember that we all have a story, and our stories matter. We're so glad you've joined us on this podcast journey. May you find hope and encouragement in this episode's story. Hi, ladies, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Story Night podcast. If this is your first time finding us, welcome. We're so glad you're here. If you check out episode 46, that will give you the most up-to-date information about this nonprofit. You'll meet the board of directors and you'll hear about Story Night's history, our purpose, and our vision for the future. If you've been with us for a while, you already know this is a place where women of all different backgrounds and experiences get to come and share their stories with the one agenda of encouraging each other and building community. That's it. It's really simple. As you hear these stories, you might really relate with them and you might not. But the goal here is that we're practicing this art of listening and to hear another story, to let somebody share a whole lot more than what we usually get to know about somebody. Usually we just get a surface level introduction and that's about it. And what if we took the time to get to know our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, maybe even people we don't consider friends and actually learn a little bit more about them? We might find some connections and we might build some bridges. My guest for this episode is Brandy. And if you have been following us a while, you've been waiting for this episode for a while because this is actually part three of a very special three-part series featuring sisters, Brandy and Carissa. So if you happen to have just stumbled upon this podcast for the very first time, you might want to pause right here. After you listen to episode 46, then listen to episode 47. In episode 47, Carissa and Brandy together shared their childhood story, which included a lot of abuse, neglect, trauma, even some homelessness. You would think that these women, based on their childhood, would have had pretty horrible adult lives, that they could have both gone down really rough paths. However, both of them turned their stories around, and it's pretty amazing. Now, Carissa shared her adult story in episode 51. We left both of them off at the end of high school, and then Carissa picked up her story from that point on and brought us up to present day. And so for this episode, Brandy gets to pick up her story at the end of high school and take us also to present day. And I just want to thank you so much for being willing to do this. We have so many Story Night connections, and I'll mention that a bit more at the end of the episode, but I'm really grateful that you are willing to go through all of this.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to share my second part.
Yeah. And assuming everyone has listened to episode 47, they've already met you and know a little bit of your introduction. So let's just dive right in.
Sure.
And can you maybe just rewind the tape just a smidge to refresh anybody of where you were at the end of high school?
Yeah.
And we'll go from there.
I actually need to start in the middle of high school. So I was probably a sophomore-ish, junior-ish. And this is kind of where my story really starts as an adult. I'd say I wasn't an adult at this point, but I was a junior in high school. And my high school time was a very, very good freshman and sophomore year. I had great friends. I had great, you know, attendance. I was doing all the things. I met my boyfriend at that time. We were living together and I ended up pregnant as a junior. So I was 16 going on 17. And that really shaped a lot of things moving forward for me. I, you know, lost friends. I had a really hard time going to school. You know, as you can imagine, you're, you know, pregnant and dealing with all kinds of things outside of pregnancy. My pregnancy was actually very, very hard. I had preeclampsia. I had high blood pressure really bad. I was actually bedridden from about 4 months and they put me on bed rest. So it was really hard. It was really hard to attend school. It was really hard to get through all of that. So we would go in, there were stress tests for the baby, and I would do that daily. And one day he was like, baby's under you know, a lot of stress. We have to induce you. And so I was induced, and he was born 5 weeks early at barely 5 pounds. It was a really hard labor. It was a really hard pregnancy. We were actually okay at the end of it, though. We came out of that fairly well. We didn't have to do any NICU. We didn't have to do anything like that. He had a hard time. You know, he was little. He couldn't eating and things like that. So it was really rough in the beginning, but I have this beautiful son now, and I'm like, oh, he's the apple of my eye. And I'm like, okay, what do I do next? And I finish high school a little later than anticipated, but I got through it. And he went to Bear Hugs at the high school.
For anybody who doesn't know what Bear Hugs is.
Yeah, Bear Hugs is a child development daycare at the school. So students can participate in learning about child development and what it all entails. And then also students with kids can have their kids there while kids go to school. So that was huge for me, obviously. In order to finish high school, I needed that support. So that was a big deal. After that, my partner and I, at the time, we move out, and I graduate high school and move out, and we move in together, and we're starting our family, and we have another baby 2 years later. So I have my daughter, Faith, 2 years after Keon was born. And, you know, we're doing okay. Life is good. And, you know, we're making it happen. I stay home. I'm a stay-at-home mom until the kids are in kindergarten. So Faith was in kindergarten when I started going back to school. And, you know, single income, it's not easy, but we made it work. And life is pretty good at this point. We move on, and we move to Dayton. We buy a home in Dayton. And we're still doing good. I start my career. I was in retail for 14 years for one company, and I did a lot with that. I was a trainer. I went to the corporate and did lots of different things there. I opened new stores. I was an area manager. I district managed at one point. And so I did a lot of things for the company. I was definitely really work focused. And when we moved to Dayton, we were doing great. We had great friends. We had great support. My husband was about 26. We had gotten married between that. Yeah. But all in that time, we had gotten married, and he was about 26 years old and was diagnosed with Parkinson's, which, as you can imagine, we didn't know, right? We were, what is Parkinson's at this point, right? We're young.
And that's a fair question too. I mean, again, I think most listeners have heard of Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some of them have experienced it. But for anybody who's a little rusty on what that means, what that looks like, can you remind everybody what it is and what the symptoms were?
So Parkinson's attacks your immune system. So he had early onset. So there was something environmental that was happening. So it's a little bit different when you're older. Parkinson's naturally happens. But when you're younger, it's a little bit more like, why is this happening? You're 26. It just doesn't make any sense. So usually it's environmental. He was a welder. We did pretty extensive research on, you know, if that was the case. A lot of the times welders do end up with Parkinson's because of metal fragments in their brain. We don't know. Ultimately, we did do scans, and there was no metal in the brain. So that was kind of ruled out. But, you know, we don't know why he was, you know, unfortunate to have this diagnosis.
And at 26 years old, when he gets that diagnosis, does that mean life's just going to be harder? Does that mean he only has a certain number of years to live? I mean, what were you looking at that point?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously we're also 26 and we don't know, right? We're not faced with Parkinson's usually at this age. And so it's not something that you hear about. You hear about cancer and you hear about all the things. So the one thing that we noticed was his mobility had changed. And really what started it is he thought he had tennis elbow, and he went in and got a cortisone shot, and it didn't help. Between the cortisol shot and the diagnosis, you could see other things starting to happen. They call it the Parkinson's stare. There's kind of this spaciness that kind of comes along with that, and his, you know, legs would give out. And so there were other signs, and that's when they referred us to a neurologist. And so that's kind of that. It was very, very hard for him physically, also mentally. He had kind of, you know, there are some things that, you know, you kind of just check out, and you kind of have this like spaciness about you. So we kind of navigated that. It was really hard. It was a change in everything. You know, he had a hard time working, and, you know, he did a really, really great job. all things considered, finding work that worked for him. But really what it meant was that I was the sole provider. And so that's kind of how that went down. We face challenges in every aspect. I mean, financially, mentally, and it was a really, really hard diagnosis. In the beginning, it was easy. It was okay to navigate. But as we got further along, there were some things that were just really hard to deal with and that needed medication. And so he was prescribed dopamine, because what happens in Parkinson's is that there is a lack of dopamine that your body naturally makes. So when you don't have dopamine, you're not happy. Dopamine is what, you know, motivates you to be happy. And that was not present. And so he was very, very sad. So he was prescribed dopamine. It helped. But what it did not help was when he was taking dopamine, he would have really high highs and then really low lows in between his doses. The lows were really low. It was really hard to navigate that. And there's no cure for Parkinson's. You can't take a medicine. You can't do chemo, you know, and hope that it goes away. It's something that you live with forever and you're just trying to manage your day-to-day life. So it was really hard.
And in the midst of all of that struggle, you had a surprise.
We did. We did have a surprise. We had a surprise baby. 6 years after our daughter was born, Owen was born. And we weren't planning on it. It happened. And, you know, he is 20 now, which is just crazy. Yeah. So we had a surprise baby and he was a joy. He was the icing on the cake for our family. It's hard, you know, to pick up and have a baby 6 years later. I'm sure other people out there have had a baby, you know, after having two and they were, you know, self-sufficient, you know, they're in school, they're doing their thing. And so it was definitely a restart to our family. And, you know, you have to do all the things. You have to get all the baby things and relearn, you know,
how to swaddle.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have a surprise baby in the midst of all of it. We had moved out of our home and we actually moved in with his family again due to, you know, it was really hard for us financially. We did a lot of things in between that, but really ultimately we were just trying to live through Parkinson's and raise our kids. Ultimately, that led to a divorce for us. It was really, really hard. It was the hardest decision. We had been together for 18 years. And, you know, he and his family really, you know, helped me through a lot of hard times. And it was a really hard decision. But ultimately, in that moment, I was choosing myself. And that was a really hard choice because I had not chosen myself in a really long time.
Probably ever. I mean, if you go back to the beginning of your story, nothing of your story was for you. Nothing was selfish. Nothing was self-centered. Nothing. Yeah. And even on a positive, nothing was just like self-care.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah.
You were always taking care of your younger siblings. Mm-hmm. Trying to survive with really no stability and security.
Yeah. So in that moment, I chose myself and it was rough. I knew that what that was going to look like for myself too, but I had never really done that for myself. So I chose me and I then became a single mom. You know, I have three kiddos and have one income. And, you know, we were on one income at this point anyways. But at that point, I had to move out of his parents' home. And so I had to really figure out what that looked like. Well, I was struggling. You know, it was a really, really big struggle.
And at this point, just to kind of put a timestamp on it, how old were you and how old were the kids?
I would have been in my early 30s or so when that all went down. Faith was in middle school at this point. Owen was still in grade school because we moved to McMinnville when he was in fifth grade. So Keon had maybe just started high school. So yeah, so that was also really hard in their lives too. We did a really good job as parents kind of, and you know, you can look at this two ways, but we did a good job kind of keeping our struggles to ourselves as adults. But ultimately what that really meant for the kiddos, I think, was that it was really hard to understand why, because they didn't see the struggle. So it was hard.
And so here you are in your early 30s with three children who are from grade school to high school, starting over as a single mom, which in many ways, having to take care of yourself and others is not anything new to you.
Yeah, no.
But then I think of how many other women at that stage of their life are just newly married and just starting their family. And you've already had like an entire life.
We have,
of marriage and motherhood. And now starting new.
yeah, I'm kind of starting over, right? I'm starting over. I'm figuring out what this single life is. I'm figuring out what this looks like. I'm at my career at this point for 14 years, and I felt a need to change. I knew that where I was, that I had kind of done everything that I could in my career. There was not much more for me at that point. And so I was like, hey, you know, I don't know. I felt a calling to do something else. And I met up with Aaron Stevenson, who's the owner of the Atticus Hotel, one of the owners, and we had a conversation. We had lunch, and I had heard about the Atticus Hotel, you know, being built, and I had never been in hospitality before. I'd had obviously lots of management, and I didn't know if this was going to be for me, but man, I tell you what, hospitality is my heart. I am very, very service-minded, and I have a heart of a servant, and I really love to help others and really give my heart to everybody else's experience, right? So I knew that this would be a great fit for me. I went through the hoops. Aaron was kind of removed. Aaron and I have history. And so I didn't want that to be the reason that I had got the job. And I know that she wouldn't also let that be the reason either. So I went through and I did the interviews and ended up starting at the Atticus Hotel as AGM and was assistant general manager under Ben Pearl. And he taught me so much. He is the best mentor and has really helped me through my career. After that, 1 year later, he kind of handed it over to me, and he's like, hey, you're ready, and here you go. You're the general manager. And man, it has been such a wild ride. I've done so many great things with them, and I've learned so much about myself and about hospitality in general, and we continue to kick butt over there, and, and it's so fun.
And I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of the episode to share a lot more about the Atticus, because the Atticus is one of Story Night's diamond sponsors. Mm-hmm. So we'll put a pin in that. I want to come back and hear more of why the Atticus is amazing and all of that. But there's a really important chapter in your life.
Yeah.
Because you found a new husband.
I did. So this led me, this new career led me to meet my new husband. And, you know, at this point, I am doing my single thing and I'm happy. I've been working on myself. I've done all of the things to understand who I am and what brought me to who I am today. And, you know, I've worked on myself physically and mentally and all of the things. And I meet my husband at the Atticus Hotel, and I don't meet him. We are not dating at this point,
now,
right?
Is he working there, or was he a guest?
He's working there.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
he's working there. Yeah. So he's working. And it was right when the hotel opened. So he had started not long after we had opened as a valet person. He also did maintenance as well, but we had met there. I would say, you know, without trying to sound unprofessional, I would say that, you know, there is a, there was a draw to him, and I didn't know what that draw was at that point, but there was a draw. I knew that he was a good person. I knew that, you know, he had a big heart. He had other things going on for himself too. He was in the Navy for 8 years and, had just gotten out of the Navy and moved back to McMinnville. And, you know, he has a son and he has a daughter. And I knew that he had other things going on, but we had built a friendship. And I do this with, I think, everybody at the hotel, but you just get to learn and know who your staff is. And it was really, his story is really, really cool and really compelling. So we'd kind of built a friendship. He was there temporarily. He ended up leaving that summer. So really kind of a little, like 3 months later. And he went to do electrical. And so he was going to school to be an electrician. And so he had left, and we had thrown him this big party. He was, you know, a big part of our staff, and we had thrown him this big party. And at that point, I kind of felt like, okay, he's leaving, you know, and I felt a little sad that he was, you know, going to do his own thing. And I was like, what is this? This is like, this is not typical. You know, I obviously champion everybody who leaves to do something else, right? But you know, I was feeling a little sad about it. And I was like, what the heck is this? I don't know what this is. And I couldn't identify it. You know, I was doing other things at this point too. I had been single for a long time. I had been dating, you know, and so I, at the end, and he's kind of leaving, and, you know, we had connected after that, and I had texted him after he had left, and he was well into his electrician program, and we kept up with each other. And after that, it just blossomed, and it's just a really, really, really great love story. you know, I think the best part about it is that we were friends first, you know, and we really respected each other's stories, and we just started opening up. And, you know, fast forward about 9 years later, here we are. We just got married in November.
I didn't realize that. You're like a newlywed. Yeah. Oh my gosh. See, this is again, listeners, this is why I say this. I feel like on every episode now, take time to hear the stories of people you already know. Yeah. You find out all these new things.
Yeah. So we have been together for a really long time, but we had goals and aspirations, and being married was definitely something that we wanted to do. We just hadn't. We were definitely in a committed relationship. We'd lived together. We blended our families. Our families love each other. Our kids accepted him wholeheartedly. And, you know, it's a great blended family. But marriage, we had talked about it, but we were just like, you know, there are some things that were kind of a little bit in the way. And we definitely have some aspirations. We're starting a business, an electrical business. So that's really fun. We're buying a home and all of these things. But, you know, marriage was one of the things that we were like, okay, we need to make that next step. So we did that in November, and it was beautiful and great and all of the things. So
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, we are so in love. And if you talk to anybody, I'm sure you would hear that we are kind of that mushy kind of love. And I am still so in love with him. Like, here we are 10 years later. So he really helped me through a lot of things, though. You know, I thought that I had healed before I met him, and I did in a lot of ways, but he has really opened me up and opened my heart up. So I'm very grateful for him.
And at this point, and the listeners can't see you, but you are glowing and sparkling.
I do. Every time I talk about him, it's so silly, but he is the apple of my eye, man. He
and
is so great.
How it should be. Yeah. And that, I think that's such an encouragement, too, that is possible. That that's not just, you know, when you're a teenager and kind of batting your eyes and Twitter-pated with somebody for the first time, that this is possible later on in life as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you've got a blended family. And so you said he had two kids.
Yeah.
And you're three. So there's five kids total at this point. And they're all from teenage up to almost 30. And you had mentioned in the episode 47 that you have grandkids.
I do. Yeah. So my oldest son, Keon, he has two kiddos, a boy and a girl, and they live in McMinnville. Yeah, Zora and Crew, and they're the cutest, of course. And then my daughter has two babies as well, Zateo and Lilina, and they're over in Portland right now. And my son is 20, and he's at home. He was going to college, but he came home. College was a little hard for him, and so he's figuring out life. And then we have Connor, and Connor just turned 16, and he's driving around, and we have him half time, and he's also a great. And then we have Lila, who is in Georgia, and so the family has really come together, and we're all in love with each other, I'd say. Yeah,
this is one of those stories that I feel like just has this almost like Disney Hallmark happily ever after story. Not that life is perfect, right? I mean, there's always going to be challenges that come your way, but what a drastic change from the start of your life to your current life today.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's, if you looking back on it and talking these things through, it's been a long ride, right? And to end up here is just a testament to how you live through those things. Everybody's thrown things in life, and it's all about how you grow through those. And, you know, I could have taken my life in the beginning, and it could have been a totally different path. And, you know, the things that I've chosen along the way, I didn't know where that was going to lead me, but I definitely grew through all of that. And to understand that, you know, at the end of the day, I have the choice, and I have the choice to make a difference in my own life. And it's led me here. And, you know, I'm happy, and I feel really, really lucky to be where I am. I feel like my kids are flourishing, and I'm flourishing, and so I feel really lucky.
And you broke a family pattern.
I did.
And really, and your sister did the same thing, you know, the way you were raised and your experiences as kids with your mom is so different than you ladies as mothers and what you've done for your kids, which is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we always wrap up somebody's story with words of encouragement for listeners, which I feel like you've embedded and you already just kind of gave some as well. But was there anything else that you wanted to encourage listeners with?
No, I just think that also, you know, I think that sometimes we focus on the negative things in life. And I think if we turn that around and really see that not everything is negative, and, you know, that we can actually see the positive in life, I think that'll get you really far.
Yeah. And it's gotten you pretty far.
It has. It has.
And this is where I get to circle back to so many fun things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because part of where you have landed is this amazing job mm-hmm. for a wonderful hotel mm-hmm. here in McMinnville, Oregon. Yeah. And for anybody who's unfamiliar with Atticus, first of all, we want to give them a huge shout out as one of our diamond sponsors. This is a 501c3 nonprofit. And the things that we do, this podcast, and we have four big events each year, and I'll talk about that in a moment. And we do those for free. And none of that is possible without some funding. Mm-hmm. We couldn't do any of that without being able to, you know, to pay for the events and pay for the podcast. And so the Atticus came alongside us mm-hmm. as a diamond sponsor, which we are so yeah. grateful for.
Yeah.
So I was hoping in our final moments here that you could tell us about the Atticus and why it's so awesome and, yeah. and special. And there'll be yeah. a link in the episode notes as well.
Sure, sure. Well, first of all, I think it starts with people who really care about community. And we have three owners that do that. And we give back as much as we can. And that is part of us giving back. We donate stays throughout the year to different organizations. We try and keep things hyper-local, but it all starts with the community first. And that's what I love the most about the Atticus, is that the owners really, really care, not just about the community, about who's in their four walls as well. And I feel very, very lucky to be a part of that team. But yeah, that is one of our ethos, is that giving back will always come back typically. So,
and now for people who live here and maybe don't necessarily need a hotel stay mm-hmm. on their own hometown, but are there other things they can do if they were to go visit the Atticus?
Of course, of course. So first and foremost, we have a really great restaurant. If you aren't familiar with Cypress Restaurant, it's Mediterranean, and you definitely have to stop by for that. It is delightful. We have a local love program as well. And I don't know that everybody knows about this, but it's a secret little inn. If you are a part of the Yamhill County, and it can be Carlton, it can be Lafayette, but as long as you have a zip code within Yamhill County, you can take advantage of a 50% off rate the day of. So say it's Valentine's Day and we have rooms available after 5 p.m. if you wanted to say, hey, you know, I'd love to stop by and stay at the hotel, you can get 50% off. So
wow, I did yeah. not know that. Yeah. See, again, yeah. and ask questions. Yeah, exactly. Everybody ask questions. You learn so yeah. many new things. Mm-hmm. So anybody with a zip code
yep.
for Yamhill County, mm-hmm. the yep. day of, mm-hmm. after 5 p.m., mm-hmm. can have this, like, you know what? I just want to get away for a night.
Yes.
And call and say, mm-hmm. do you have a room? And if you do, it's half off.
Yes.
It's yeah. very exciting.
It is really exciting. It's exciting. We do see a lot of moms come through and they're like, I need a night away. I need a bathtub. And we were like, yes, we can do that. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. A big soaking tub, a bathtub, big bubble tub. Bath
with bath salts.
And all the ladies listening just went, yes, yeah. yes, and amen.
Yes, yes, exactly.
That is amazing. That I'm so glad to know that.
Yeah, yes, everybody should know it.
I think, yeah, all our listeners need to know that as well. And mm-hmm. again, we'll put the link for the Atticus Hotel in the episode notes. And we just want to thank you so much. You were instrumental in making that happen.
Yeah,
and I'm so grateful
yeah, of course.
For you and for your willingness to share your story yeah. and for the support from the Atticus. And ladies, there is an opportunity for you to win a free night at the Atticus. yeah. Because our next event, our next live story night event is coming up, I mean, in days. It's coming up on April 30th, Thursday. This will be at the Chehalem Cultural Center. There are maybe 5 tickets left. So if you jump on the website and grab one of those, the tickets are free. We would love to have you there. It is an amazing girls' night out. There will be about 350 women packed into a ballroom with snacks and beverages and prizes. And one of the prizes that you can win through our raffle is a free night at the Atticus. There's so many other amazing prizes. There are spa treatments. There's a free house cleaning. There's high-end art. There's jewelry. I mean, I could go down the list. We have more prizes donated this time than we've ever had before, which is so exciting. And the main point, of course, at this event is to hear somebody's story. And our speaker for April 30th is Lindsay Cooper. Lindsay's a mother of 5. And several years ago, her 7-year-old son was hit by a truck. He suffered a traumatic brain injury that forever changed his life and her life and the family's life, of course. Now, that's a story that all of us could just imagine would completely derail a family, just put you through grief that you think you could never get through it. You could never survive something like that. But Lindsay kept her thoughts steady. She's now a certified master life coach, helping people with thought work and how they look at their circumstances and can find joy. It is a very powerful and very beautiful story, and we don't want you to miss it. So check out our website, storynighthope.com, to learn more, see if there's an available ticket still. Sometimes we get last minute cancellation, so it's always worth checking, even if those final five tickets disappear. Check it out. And if you happen to be listening to this after April 30th, 2026, still go on the website, because then you can see what event we have coming up next and get your free tickets to that one. And as we said, none of this is possible without support. And you've heard about the Atticus as one of our diamond sponsors. We have so many other amazing diamond sponsors. They're all on our website. And we need to give a huge shout out to our 2026 headline sponsoring business, Grace Craze. Grace Craze is an international franchise of charcuterie boards and boxes. And we have a local one here in McMinnville, Oregon, owned by the amazing Jennifer Richter. Her story's on episode 28, so we highly recommend checking that out. And my encouragement to everybody listening is to go over to Grace Craze and get one of their boxes or maybe a board and find one of your girlfriends, maybe somebody you know really well, maybe somebody you've just met. Go out on a picnic or just get together and over this amazing food, ask her to tell you her story. And I think you'll be amazed at how much we can build community if we take time to do that. So thank you so much to Jennifer Richter. Thank you so much to Grace Craze. Thank you to you, Brandy, for not only sharing your story with us, but also for the connection to the Atticus and for being a sponsor of Story Night. We appreciate you. We appreciate the businesses so much. And for anybody listening who's an individual that maybe feels just blessed by this outreach and maybe wanting to support us in any way, you can make a tax-deductible donation. The link is in our episode notes. Even if it's one-time $5, every little bit helps us to bring these events to the women in our community and to continue bringing you this podcast where we hear stories from local ladies and just get to know each other at a deeper level. It's pretty amazing. I love getting to do this. I think it's such an honor to be invited into somebody's story. So thank you to everybody who has been a part of the Story Night family. Thank you, ladies, for tuning in to this episode. We hope you are blessed and encouraged, and we hope that you come back next time for our next story. Until then, remember, you have a story. Your story matters, and you are not alone.